and welcome to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. My name is Patrick Rice. I'm here with my good friend and brother in Christ, Dan Demite.
Hey, how are you doing, Patrick?
Okay, and actually today on the show, I just want all of our listeners to know that we have a very different kind of show for you. Usually we bring on people guests and they share their testimonies, but today Dan is going to be sharing our testimony. So we have a different format if you heard the show before, but like always, we are going to start off in prayer. So just join me in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Father God, we love you, we praise you, we adore you, we bless your holy name. And Father, I pray for your presence to be upon every listener right now. Holy Spirit, I pray that you come and fill the cars, the rooms, the churches, the cities, Lord, wherever our voices go. Holy Spirit, send your presence with our voices, Lord. Father, I thank you for the gift of Dan. I thank you for the gift of our friendship. I thank you for the gift of his ministry and the way that you continue to use him. And Lord, as you call him forth, I pray that you continue to call him out to go onto the water and to walk to the places that you're calling him to go. So Father, we pray for the protection of the shed blood of Jesus to be over us, to over all of our listeners. And we pray for the intercession of Mary, who's been so powerful in his ministry. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. As you know, okay, Dan is the co-host of Encounter Radio. He is also the director of evangelization at Catholic Youth Summer Camp, amazing ministry. He's also a member of the Encounter Columbus ministry team, and he's also one of my best friends and brothers in Christ.
Boom.
So you get to have it's like a trifecta of grace flowing here. So Dan is going to be sharing his testimony, and Dan, there's a scripture that I know has been really important to you, and it just really, to me, it sums up what the way that God has worked in your life. Because I see you as an apostle, like Peter. The Lord has called forth into mission. Apostles are sent forth. And so this call of the first apostles is actually really clear. So I'm going to bring everyone here, okay? This is Matthew chapter 4. And I just want to lead this scripture into root, okay, Dan's testimony in right here in the Word. This is Matthew 4, verse 18 and on. As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there, and he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boats and their father and followed him. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ.
So, Dan, the one thing that I just love about this scripture, along with your testimony that you're going to be sharing, is how they didn't ask for much. They realized that there's something different about this man in this really short encounter, and like that grace really was enough, and they were content with that. And there was just an adventure that unfolded. This sense, this prompting of the Spirit already active within you. So, Dan, start us off. I want to hear where it first started with you, brother.
Yeah, well, like what you just said, this adventure unfolded. My ministry life with the Lord has been nothing but an adventure. I mean, a mind-blowing adventure where the Lord has called me to do things that I never thought I would be doing. And it's every day is a new day. Every day is an incredible adventure with the Lord. And the apostles, their adventure just started with this simple call, "Come, follow me," but a radical choice that they immediately dropped everything and followed him with reckless abandon, right? And before I share my story, I want to just share a story of I was working with a young man for confirmation. I was preparing him for confirmation, and I had read this account to him, this gospel account of the call of the first disciples. And at the end of it, you know, I said, "Hey, you know, you've got these guys, and they're on the water one day, and Jesus comes up to them and he says, 'Hey, come follow me.' And immediately they drop everything and follow him." And so I asked him, "What do you think it was about Jesus that led these ordinary men to drop everything and follow him?" And he closed his eyes and he got really focused and he thought really hard. And when he opened his eyes, he said, "Dan, there must have been something amazing about Jesus." And for me growing up, I wasn't presented with a gospel, or I wasn't presented with a Jesus worth following, I think. A lot of times, as we grow up in our parishes or our Catholic schools, the gospel was presented in a way that isn't all that attractive, or Jesus is presented in a way that isn't all that attractive. And these guys, when they saw Jesus, they saw in him someone who was worth giving their entire life for, someone worth everything. And so, you know, for me growing up, I went to Catholic schools my whole life, and the faith was presented, I would say, in a very emotional way from a very young age, where I saw Jesus as a emotional counselor, if you will, someone that when I had burdens or difficulties, I could go to him and he would give me warm fuzzies. I call it, I call this the cotton candy Jesus gospel, right? Where like almost Jesus was just presented as this guy who gives out cotton candy, makes you feel good about yourself, raises your self-esteem. He's like a self-help book, right? And that was worth giving a little bit of my life to. So I wasn't like the early apostles. I didn't drop everything, but I was like, okay, Jesus, that's not bad. Like I'll keep you around. So Jesus was kind of in my pocket. He was like on the sideline, like in my life. I had a really faithful home. My mom was very faithful to the church. My mom was, I remember, my mom prayed every night at the kitchen table. I saw her with her devotional books, her scripture every night at the table praying. But my dad was very disengaged. He went to mass. We went to mass every week. My dad came because, I think my mom forced him to, and, but like he wouldn't respond. He kind of just stood there stone face. And, so he wouldn't respond to the, he wouldn't sing the songs. There was no joy in his effort towards the faith. And so as a very young boy, I started to associate the faith with females, right? That religion and piety and devotion to Jesus was not only for emotional comfort, but it was also just for girls. And men, my dad and other men in my life weren't showing any devotion to the Lord. And then I looked at my school, right? And all of the religion teachers were females. All of the... it seemed like a lot of the youth ministers were females. Everywhere I looked, the people who were excited about their faith surrounding me were just girls. And so I said, okay, well, I'm not going to give everything to Jesus, because if I do, that's kind of girly. And so I was a little unattractive to giving everything and selling everything and dropping everything, right? And so, and then I got into high school, and the opportunity for youth ministry came into my life. And so my mom encouraged me to start going to youth group, and it turned out that there was a lot of different ways I could get involved in youth ministry. And I was pretty good at like, leading youth ministry games and like doing like, I actually kind of fit in at youth group, and had like a natural leadership tendencies there. So I was attractive to youth ministry right off the bat. And I got involved in youth group. And once again, though, God was presented, I'd go to these youth conferences and, if Jesus was talked about, he was talked about as just like, hey, guys, make Jesus your best friend, right? Like, Jesus is your buddy. Like, what kind of relationship should you have with Jesus? Just make him your best friend.
Jesus is my homeboy.
Yeah, Jesus is my homeboy. Those shirts were everywhere. It's just like, Jesus was like, he wasn't presented as God. He wasn't presented as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The gospel, honestly, was never presented where he was a God worth dropping everything for. But instead, he was kind of presented as this like equal, like, hey, buddy, I'll hang out with you some Fridays, other Fridays I won't, you know, like. And so the problem with presenting Jesus as your best friend, I think, is that when I disagreed with my best friends, I would just ignore them, right? Yeah. And so I started to do this with Jesus. And so this habit of moral relativism, where I would pick and choose what I wanted to believe and how I wanted to believe it, just set in. Like, Jesus, you're my buddy, and I'll hang out with you when it's convenient. I'll talk to you when I feel like it. But if I disagree with you, I disagree with you, and I'm my own master.
I have a question. Did you, at that time, ever have, like, a authentic encounter with Jesus? Had you actually met this best friend that you heard about?
No, you know, I think a lot of times I would go to youth group or youth conferences, and I feel like the only message I heard was, don't do drugs, don't drink alcohol, and don't have sex. And no one told me, hey, guys, there's this man who suffered and died for you. His name is Jesus, and he wants you to encounter him. The Eucharist wasn't a part of most of what we did, right? There wasn't a Eucharistic drive. And so as I kind of grew up in high school, I started to grow this mindset where I desired the world, and mm-hmm. I wanted to be prestigious in the world's eyes. And so I started to really look at the things of the world, like getting into Notre Dame. I wanted to go to Notre Dame. I wanted to go to the best college, get the best degree possible, get the best job, and make the best salary. I wanted to be the best. And then I also wrestled. And so I wanted to be the best at wrestling, right? I wanted to be the best wrestler around. And my life began to be shaped and molded by these earthly dreams and desires, all the while living in moral relativism. So I picked and choose what I believed in the church. And so I didn't really care for a lot of the sexual morality of the church. I agreed with, okay, we shouldn't have sex until we're married, but I disagreed with a lot of the other things. So I was like, oh, well, I'll just do all of like the sexual foreplay I can with girls, all short of sex, right? And so I started to use women for my sexual pleasure. I started to really pick and choose which doctrines of the church I agreed with. Oh, I don't like the idea that someone in Rome can tell me how to live, so I disagree with the concept of the Pope. Or, you know, I don't really agree with this whole idea of the Eucharist being Jesus's real presence. I don't really like that, so I disagreed with the real presence of the Eucharist. And I started to pick and choose what aspects of Catholicism I agreed with and what aspects I didn't agree with. And I wanted to really control my own life and become this self-made man. And so as I started to pursue my earthly dreams in high school, I realized I was really good at it. I was really good at academics, and I had a 4.21 GPA at one of the toughest schools in the state. And
St. Charles, big deal.
Boom, right? And and I had a 32 on my ACT. I was like really, I thought I was a sure in for Notre Dame, right? And so I had worked really hard to get in, and I also was really good at wrestling. I had worked extremely hard to cut weight, to lose the weight, to get in the low weight class. And I like, this was my daily schedule in high school. I'd wake up in the morning, I'd go to the gym and work out. I'd go to school, work hard in school. After school, I would run a few miles. Then I'd go to practice. I'd stay late after practice. And then I'd go home and I would literally lay in bed and think about wrestling moves all night, right? My mind was consumed by these two dreams. And so my senior year, when I thought everything was going great for me, I got to this point where I was in districts for wrestling, and I was wrestling a guy to make it to states who I'd beaten by 15 points earlier in the season. And I'd actually beat him with a concussion. So if you've ever, I got a concussion earlier in the day, and I kept wrestling even though I had a concussion. And after I beat this guy, the ref raised my hand, and I literally fell to the mat and was rushed to the ER. Like, so I was like, surely if I could beat this guy by 15 points with a concussion, I can beat him again to go into states.
Put a blindfold on.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And so as I'm wrestling him, I'm destroying him. I'm up like 9 points, and then I throw him on his back, and I hear this blood curdling cry like, ah, and all of a sudden, the ref stops the match. I realize I dislocated a shoulder. The ref calls me for an illegal move, and I was disqualified. And so my dream within seconds was taken away from me.
Yeah, Dan, it takes it takes years to build a reputation and just seconds to ruin it.
Exactly, right? Yeah. Right. And it took so many years to try to get to this dream of making it to states, and then within seconds, it was gone. And then a week later, I received a letter from Notre Dame. I had gotten a full ride scholarship through their ROTC program, but I wasn't accepted into the university itself. And they told me to reapply the following year. And I was in my bedroom, and I realized all of these dreams that I had built up for myself were changing, and life was uncontrollable. And the only thing unchanging was God. And you know, I had all these false images of Jesus growing up, but there was one image that my mom put in every house, I mean, every room of our house, and it was a crucifix. And in my bedroom, kind of at a point of brokenness, I looked up on my wall and I saw Jesus crucified. And like I said, in high school or growing up, I never felt like anyone preached the gospel to me. And it was all of a sudden, the gospel, the good news of who Jesus was, woke me up. And I realized that Jesus Christ was God made flesh, and that in him crucified, I discovered a man who loved me so intensely, so radically, that he gave me absolutely everything. He gave me every drop of his blood, every beat of his heart, every breath of his lungs. And I heard the Lord actually speak to me in my room that day, a very simple message. He said, "Dan, my love for you cost me my life. What does your love for me ever cost you?" Mm. And it's like these apostles, right? They dropped everything. Everything. And so often we want to follow Jesus and we don't want to drop anything, or we want to just drop the things that are easy to drop or convenient to drop. Like, hey, I'm going to give up chocolate this Lent, right? But they dropped everything. And I realized that was my call, that Jesus, he dropped everything for me. His love for me cost him his life, and he was unchanging. His love was going to be there every day. His sacrifice was there present for me to drink of. And I felt like in my bedroom, the centurion who fell at the feet of Jesus and was just washed by his blood. And I was just bathed in his merciful blood. And I encountered Jesus Christ crucified, and I discovered what his sacrifice for me really was. And so when you discover that Jesus Christ gave you everything, literally the only rational response, I think, is to say, "Lord, I give you everything." Mm. Like, it doesn't make sense. Imagine if I was at a restaurant with a girl and I was like, "Hey, I love you so much, and I want to lay my life down for you, and I want to give you everything. I want to spend my entire life making you happy, and I literally will die for you." And she just is like looking at her cell phone or like scrolling Facebook, right? Love, as powerful as the cross, demands a response. Mm-hmm. And the response that it demands is everything. And so I was there, and I was brought to my knees in front of Jesus in my bedroom, crucified. And I said, "Lord, I want to give you everything. And I don't want to live for this world anymore. I don't want to seek the treasures of this world and the prestige, the popularity, the wealth of this world. I want to seek you." Mm-hmm. "I want to give you everything."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, what you said, how you have been presented a Jesus of, you know, emotions and simple comfort. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 that I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
That Paul himself, when he was building the church, he built it by presenting Jesus Christ and him crucified, that the cross is at the center of our life and ministry. And although that was not there in the culture that you were raised in, it was there in your home.
Amen.
And that's where your conversion happens.
And so many of our parishes have removed the crucifix from the focal point of our church, right? Mm-hmm. And actually, I started to think about this as I was growing up. The church I grew up in, they had replaced the crucifix with some weird image. And it wasn't, Jesus crucified wasn't present in my church growing up. And he wasn't preached in my church growing up. And there was a hunger for me to know Jesus crucified. Why? Because a man who lays his life down for others, even though he is sinless, is attractive, and he is worth dropping everything for. And so these guys, James and John, Peter and Andrew, that's who they saw that day, mm-hmm. a man worth following. And the gospel no longer seemed something like something that was girly for me. It was actually something extremely attractive as a young man, because, wow, Jesus Christ, you are not just a person worth following, you're a man worth following. This is actually authentic masculinity, laying your life down for the sake of others, even though you had done no wrong yourself. That Jesus Christ is the fullness of masculinity, and in him I found a man worth following, mm-hmm. A true image of what it means to be a man, and a man I wanted to be.
Yeah, and like, we're made to conquer. We're made for victory, and the victory happened at the cross. Amen. Happened at the cross. Like, and we're wired for that. So if we want to live out this calling for greatness, to conquer, to have victory, the cross is where the victory happened. And Amen. Then everything we do is claiming the victory that Jesus already won for us at the cross in every situation, whether it's with the loneliness, the depression, the sickness or infirmity. Like, we just call out what Jesus already did on the cross.
Yeah. So that night, I think I discovered Jesus Christ crucified, And he started to prepare me for the resurrection of my own life. And there was a few key things that had to happen before he could prepare me for that.
That's awesome. Dan, we're going to take a break. I just want everyone to know you're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. My name is Patrick Rice, and we are talking with Dan Demite about his conversion, his testimony. And when you come back, we're going to hear the second part of that. Thanks so much. See you on the flip side. Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. We are joined today again with Dan Demite for part two. In part one, Dan, you had shared about this initial conversion happening through like really claiming the reality of Jesus Christ crucified for you and your response to that. What was the next part of your testimony?
Yeah, so I was just set on fire right then and there, and I wanted to get to know Jesus more. And so I was like, well, if I'm going to get to know Jesus more, I need to start praying more. And I was like, but I don't really know how to pray. And I remember the thought crossed my mind, well, I should read the Bible. And I was like, no one reads the Bible. That's confusing. And so because I had never really grown up being taught to read the scriptures, which just seems kind of strange, right?
And every Protestant listening is going crazy. Please help us.
So, but I did know the rosary. People had taught me that. So what I did was I started to pray the rosary, and I would go to a shrine every day down the street from my house on the way home from school, and I would just sit in front of the grotto and I'd pray the rosary. And then as I prayed the rosary, I actually didn't even know that there was mysteries to the rosary at this point. I told someone I was praying the rosary. They're like, oh, wow, what's your favorite mystery? I was like, what are the mysteries?
Like who died?
Yeah. So then I learned about the mysteries. I was like, oh, wow, this makes the rosary even better, right? And then and then the hunger just kept growing. So I started to pray the rosary two times a day. But I didn't really know how to pray, if you will, but Mary slowly started to just open up this massive relationship with Jesus for me, where she literally taught me how to pray. And so my memorized prayer of the rosary, or my devotional prayer, started to go into contemplation, and it started to go into a spontaneous prayer, and it started to go into a hunger to discover more about the mystery. So then I got into scripture, and so Our Lady just literally, that devotion to the rosary and making sure I was praying it every day, she taught me how to pray. And Jesus, before I knew it, was speaking to me, and I was hearing his voice clearly, mm-hmm. and articulately. There were still some major barriers, though. I remember looking at youth ministry and the church, and I was like, you know, there's no one doing anything. All of the people I knew who were talking about Jesus in an exciting way were evangelicals. And so I had some evangelical friends who were like, oh, you got to start coming to our youth group. Like, we're all about Jesus. Jesus Christ saves. Like, right. And so I remember telling my mom one day, Mom, you're just a machine. You do whatever the church tells you. You don't even think for yourself. When I graduate high school, I'm gonna leave the church, and I'm gonna really discover the these churches that are alive and awake. And so I had this mindset that the church was closed-minded and broken, and that Catholics couldn't think for themselves. I actually remember I was so passionate about Jesus at this point where I started to write in a notebook my own church. I started to literally write down the tenets of my own church that I was going to start someday, right? Because I started to hear about these church planners, and I was like, I want to be a church planner.
Kids,
and so,
don't try this at
yeah,
home.
No, don't try this at home. But it was the essence of moral relativism, where I was literally making a list of the things I liked about Catholicism and the things I didn't like about Catholicism.
Did your list have neon lights?
No. Okay. But so what? One of the things that that started to happen was I started to talk to some of my Catholic friends and my youth minister about my disbelief in the Eucharist. And one of my youth ministers at the time, he said, Dan, I want you to, I just feel that you're supposed to give this talk. The topic is Mary and the Eucharist. And I was like, I don't even believe in the Eucharist. Why would I give a talk on Mary and the Eucharist? But I loved Mary because she had radically changed my prayer life. And so I was like, I also really loved being in front of people and being the center of attention. So I was like, I'll do the talk, right? And So I lock myself in a room for 6 hours, literally for 6 hours. And this youth minister gives me all of these books to start reading about the Eucharist. And he says, start with John chapter 6. And so I start like just studying the Eucharist so I can write this talk. And I discovered that Mary was the first one to receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And that Mary gave birth to Jesus, and that Jesus had this hunger and desire to give us himself just like he gave himself to Our Lady. That we, she didn't. So the theology of the Eucharist started to make sense in my head. And I went to Mass that day, and I prayed during Mass. I said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Because in my head, it started to make sense, but my heart really just kept seeing bread and wine. And as I walked up to receive the Eucharist that day at Mass, it was as if scales fell from my eyes. And the real presence of the Eucharist, it wasn't like a physical miracle. It was a supernatural, spiritual gift of faith where I knew the real presence. I knew that Jesus was fully present in the Eucharist.
You know what blows my mind is like, this is something that is replicable in the sense that like, this mystical experience happened after you had done this reading, that like Paul says in Romans 12, we're transformed by the renewal of our mind, that you had set that up. And like oftentimes we want conversion experiences, but we're not willing to renew our mind or even allow that.
Yeah. And so I received the Eucharist that day with full faith, and literally it was as if the grace of my baptism and my confirmation exploded in my life. Like I had no, all of a sudden I knew scripture verses that I didn't know before. I knew how to defend teachings of the church, the church that I had never known how to defend before. Every disagreement I had with the church, immediately I agreed with it and I knew how to defend it. Like there was this radical gift of, miraculous gift of wisdom and knowledge and understanding, a miraculous gift of courage to go back and to change my life in my school, to share my faith with my friends. There was just this radical grace of the Holy Spirit that exploded from the true presence of the Eucharist.
What did you do with your new church list?
Yeah, so that disappeared, right? Like I found out that there was a missionary program called Net Ministries, and that I could actually be a Catholic missionary. And I was like, wait.
You didn't have to start a new church. You could just build the one that Jesus already started.
Exactly, wow. Right. And so I just got really excited to build up, to give everything to Jesus. I went off, I served as a missionary for a year. And when I got to this missionary program, there was still some sin in my life, and the Lord started, he had one more phase for me, and that was confession, right? Because up until that point, every time I went to confession, I would only confess the sins that were easy to confess. Like, forgive me, Father, I've lied on a few occasions, I cheated on a test, I hit my sister. But those sexual sins that I talked about earlier that I was so ashamed of, I had never brought forward and brought to the light. And so I went to confession and I said, forgive me, Father, for I've sinned. First sin I'd like to confess is that I've never been honest in the confessional. And the priest actually laughed and he cracked his fingers and he said, oh, this is going to be fun.
Yes.
And so for the first time in my life, I just bore it all, right? I shared, you know, a lot of times in scripture, you see when Jesus, when he is casting out a demon, he names the demon. And so I went into the confessional and I named those sins. I named those demons, and I named them in detail because I was tired of them hiding and I knew I had to bring them to the light. And the priest that day at the end of the confessional, he said, Dan, you're cleansed, you're a living saint, and you can actually live the life of a saint.
Yeah, it's sweet. In the readings recently, it was 1 John 3, like anyone who sins is a son of the devil, right? And so like our sin is like demonic in nature. And so like that image you gave is awesome. I'm not gonna forget that when we go into confession and we name our sins, we're like casting out the demonic
we're casting
influence.
Out the evil. Exactly. And that's exactly what happened in my life. And all this, you know, confession not only forgives us from our sins, but it gives us the grace to overcome our sins. And so what happened was I received God's supernatural strength to overcome those sins I was so ashamed of. And so in this conversion process that I was having, now all of a sudden I had God's power to fight against my sin and God's strength to fight against my sin. And so over the course of the next year, I was set free from all of those sins that had burdened me all through high school. And I was ready and disposed to just serving God with all of my heart, mind, and soul, mm-hmm. right? To give him everything that I had.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. There's power in the Eucharist, and what we need here is, you know, to figure out like what happens when we receive that power. Like, did you just like sit around? I mean, what happened next?
Yeah, no. So the beautiful thing was, before I went on this missionary year, I had this this experience in confession, and so then my life was consumed with ministry. Right? Really? I mean, there was,
you poured it out.
There's a lot of times I think what we do is we have a conversion, and then we don't go into mission. And what the Lord was doing, just like with the apostles, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So I was following the Lord, but he was launching and transforming my heart and saying, Dan, I've created you to be a fisher of men. Like, you are called to be my apostle. You're called to be on mission. And I loved, I served a year as a missionary, right? But that was in 2003. But it's 2016, and I'm still a missionary of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we're not called to do mission trips or to go on missionary years, but we're called to be missionaries.
And for anyone out there that works with youth, okay, if there's a person that has a radical conversion out there, I've actually seen youth ministers and like core team members say something along the lines of like, you know, I'm really, really glad that you had an awesome conversion, but you know, your fire is going to die out, and you just need to be able to learn to live in an ordinary life. And I mean, for me, I'm still waiting for that to happen for me. And I haven't seen you fade out at all. So
no.
We just rebuke that.
Yeah. We're not, you know, we can't be shooting stars that burn up and fly really fast, but burn out. Right. The Lord wants to make us a star. He says, shine like the stars in the midst of this corrupt and depraved generation. That's what we're like. Once we're set on fire, we blaze.
The fire of the Holy Spirit.
Boom.
Come, Holy Spirit. Fill everyone right now in the name of Jesus. We pray that you fill with a fire that just desires that
Amen.
Encounter.
Come,
that
Holy
desires
Spirit.
The Holy Spirit to be released into the earth, that heaven would touch earth. Your kingdom come, your
Holy
will be done
you,
on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I pray that you just ignite people with a desire for ministry, mm-hmm. Lord, to just say yes to that opportunity that's in front of them.
Lord,
keep going. Dan, I got to get into the controversial topic. The thing that you didn't want to talk about today, you are a reality TV star.
I am a reality TV star. Yep, that's right.
I am a son of God. I am a reality TV star. Not everyone can say the second one, all right? But you are on God or the Girl, all right? This A&E produced drama. It was produced by atheists, right?
Three Jewish guys and an atheist.
Oh,
yeah.
Three Jewish guys and an atheist.
Yeah. So the funny thing is, once we give our life over to the Lord, he calls us on a wonderful adventure, right? So I believe if you look at the Acts of the apostles lived the best life in the entire world. Like, there's apps. I love ministry. I love youth ministry because there's such a a lie out there that the church is boring, and the church is not boring. There's only boring Catholics, right? And so if your faith life is dull and boring, it's because you are dull and boring, or you haven't actually encountered Jesus Christ in a life-changing, radical way. Why? Because when we encounter Jesus Christ in a life-changing, radical way, he sets us on an extraordinary mission, and there's nothing, absolutely nothing about his boring about his mission. And so that's what he did. He just launched me on an extraordinary mission. Right after I got home from being a missionary, we just started ministry. And a buddy of mine, we were at a concert one night, and I'll get into the reality TV show. I want to tell this story first. We're 19 years old, and we're at a concert, and all of a sudden, we're like, hey, we should go back after this concert and pray. So we go back home, and we just start we were trying to learn how to play the guitar so we could do worship music, and we start praying together. There's only like four of us, I think. And that was awesome. It actually wasn't awesome because we didn't know how to play guitar. We didn't know how to pray together in that way. But we're like, we should do this again next week and invite some more people. So throughout the course of that summer, we just started inviting people over to my mom's house. And by the end of the summer, there was literally 72 people crammed in my mom's living room, and we actually had to remove all of the furniture. What we would do is, it was very simple. We'd have a basic gospel proclamation. Someone would preach on the gospel, and then we would worship together. And that on one case, our worship was so loud that literally someone thought we were having a party, and they called the cops, and cops showed up with a paddy wagon ready to arrest us all, right?
The Jesus rave.
Exactly, right? And so the cops show up and knock on the doors. We're doing worship, and the neighbors must have called because our worship was so thundering and so loud, and my mom's like, oh, officers, we're not having a party. They're just praying. Do you want to come in and join? And so
they're drunk on the Holy Spirit.
Drunk on the Holy Spirit, officers. And but then what God did all of a sudden is over the next couple of months, this movement that happened in my mom's living room became a movement with over 500 high schoolers gathered on a monthly basis for the Eucharistic celebration, for preaching of the gospel, and for worship. And that continued for years, right? That even from a young age, the Lord wanted to do something radical through his apostles. And it wasn't planned out or organized or systematic. It was simply us inviting people to come and encounter this man who could change their lives, mm-hmm. and to encounter him through worship and through the Eucharist. And so, but as all of this is happening, as this like this great ministry is taking place, I get this call from Hollywood, and they're like, "Hey, we would like to interview you to be on a reality TV show called God or the Girl." Actually, it wasn't called God or the Girl initially; it was called Holy Journey at the beginning. And they were like, "Would you like to interview for this? It's about young men discerning the priesthood or the married life, and we want to capture that discernment process." And they had gotten my name from my campus minister at my college. And so before I knew it, I was in Hollywood and I was signed up for this reality TV show. And I was really scared because I was afraid that they were going to make a mockery of me, right? And that they were going to I knew this wasn't being produced by the Catholic Church. And I was like, maybe this is like a trick and they're going to somehow make me look like a huge sinner and make the church look really bad. So I was going to tell them no, but I remember praying about it. And John Paul II said in my prayer, he said, Dan, you need to move into the new evangelization. And so I was like, okay, I'm gonna do this. This is a form of the new evangelization. And so I show up to Hollywood, and these three Jewish guys and an atheist, they all have Catholicism for Dummies, and they're reading the book Catholicism for Dummies. And the idea was just to show the world. The difficult discernment process between the priesthood and the married life.
Yeah, no, I mean, what was the big thing that God did in your life from that in that ministry?
Yeah, you know, it was really an adventure. God opened up some incredible doors for evangelization through that. I was on Larry King Live, and I defended the church's teaching on the celibate priesthood on Larry King Live. I was able to go on The View, and if you've ever watched The View, the women of The View usually don't have the same mindset of the church. And so I was able to really preach the theology of the body on The View. I was able to be on the Today Show and share my testimony of encountering Jesus Christ on the Today Show. And then the reality series aired. And on the reality series, myself and my youth group, we prayed outside of an abortion clinic. And so I started to get these emails on Facebook from young women who were discerning abortions. And they were asking, Dan, why shouldn't I abort my child? Or I met a girl on campus. She was on OSU's campus, and she had already had an abortion, and she was so wounded by it, and she had left the church because of it. She thought that God could never love her again, and together, we were able to just grow in our faith together. I prayed with her, and I led her to the church, and the priest heard her confession, and she came back in union with the church. So just awesome doors open to heal people, especially through abortion. It's been probably 10 years since the show aired, and I still get Facebook messages. I actually had a seminarian in Hong Kong send me a message saying that he saw the show recently and it impacted his discernment process in a radical way. So just crazy how the Lord can work like that.
What was he like? So did you get married?
Well, it was a Facebook message. I didn't hear his accent. Yeah, no, but so the show, they changed the title right before it aired to God or the Girl, which is a very non-Catholic title. And, because I was called to the married life, which is God through the girl. And so, you know, I think a lot of times what we do is we think if we want to give our lives completely to the Lord and in service to the Lord's kingdom, I have to become a priest or I have to become a sister. And the Lord was very clear in my discernment process, Dan, holiness is about laying your life down for the sake of others. And I want to unite you to the cross. And so I was called to lay my life down for my wife and for my children and to still be in full service to the kingdom.
That's amazing. So the power of the Eucharist that led into this new ministry, even to the entertainment industry of our nation. God used you so powerful. Dan, we're going to come back on the flip side. You're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. My name is Patrick Rice, and we're going to have Dan finish up and share with us the rest of the ministry God's called him to. Hold on, we'll see you in just a second. Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. Dan, you're lighting us up. You know, this mission, this show is about like an encounter leads to an extraordinary mission. So tell us about the extraordinary mission that God has you in right now.
Heck yeah. You know, we talked a little bit about God through the girl. So all of us are in an extraordinary mission through our normal way of life. My wife is... she's awesome. She always says, do what you do and do it for Jesus. And so my extraordinary mission is whatever I do, right? And that's, I think, for all of us, whatever you do, that is your extraordinary mission. So if you're a businessman, do that for Jesus. If you're a nurse, do it for Jesus. If you're a teacher, do it for Jesus. If you're married, do it for Jesus. So I'm married. We've got 4 kids. The vocation of marriage is our primary extraordinary mission, raising saints. And I want to raise missionaries. I want to raise kids whose hearts are for the kingdom, not heart for the world. And so I love being on mission with my wife as well. We're so blessed because we're able to stand side by side in so much of what we do. We get to speak often together about discernment or the call to holiness. And we also run together with others this amazing apostolate called Catholic Youth Summer Camp. And I think a lot of our missionary work, it all goes back to that scripture that we opened up with, Jesus' call, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. A lot of time in ministry, we kind of focus on just one of those, right? Sometimes we focus on come follow me, this encounter with Jesus. What does it mean to follow Jesus? And it becomes this relationship all about me or Jesus. Or in ministry, we only focus on becoming fishers of men and really just focusing on the missionary work, or the ministry work or the justice work, but never really the encounter. And our ministry, we're really trying to show the importance of both having this encounter with Jesus Christ, where we come to know him and we follow him. We're a disciple of Jesus Christ. And then we're launched on mission with Jesus Christ. I was blessed to be able to write a book through Dynamic Catholic, and it's called Holiness Revolution. And it came from Pope Benedict's call at his first World Youth Day, where he said, the world is in dire need of a spiritual revolution of holiness. And I started to really pray into that and realize that the Lord, that's the gospel, right? That the Lord wants to accomplish a radical change in our hearts, and then he wants to use us to accomplish a radical change in this world. He wants to revolutionize our hearts and revolutionize the world. And so I've been blessed to really share the gospel with so many churches and parishes and travel around and do parish missions on this topic of the holiness revolution, where the Lord has come into our lives to radically change us, to accomplish a revolution inside of our lives, and then to set us on an adventure of radically changing the world.
Where can our listeners learn more about this book, about this speaking ministry that you guys have?
Yeah, definitely. You can either go to holinessrevolution.com or dynamiccatholic.com. So myself and another guy, Aaron, we run parish missions through Dynamic Catholic, and the book is on Dynamic Catholic's website as well.
That's amazing. So Catholic Youth Summer Camp.
Yeah, this is our primary work. And so we're so blessed. The Lord has called us to this incredible faith awakening experience where we want to re-energize the young generation and in that really bring a new life, a new vitality to the church. And so what the deepest call on my heart is to present our faith as an incredible adventure that is to be lived. And so we run high adventure summer camps that lead to a high adventure faith. And the Lord has blessed us with an incredible opportunity to really awaken young people's lives through a high adventure camp ministry.
That's sweet. Now, what part does, like, is it just fun? I mean, do teens encounter the Lord?
Yeah, so I think a lot of times we need the new evangelization is about bringing the gospel into real life, right? And so the beauty of Catholic Youth Summer Camp is it is a fully human ministry. We do high adventure activities throughout the day. So we've got this like 50-foot rock climbing wall. We've got zip lines, jet skis, a water blob, which is like this gigantic inflatable on the water that when you jump on it, you get shot out into the water. It's incredible. High ropes courses, paintball. So there's just this vibrant, contagious joy that our campers experience. And we, in those activities, we form this incredible community of joy, of resurrected community. And then in mixed within all of that is a high adventure faith. And so we have daily prayer labs where we teach young people how to pray through scripture. We have daily mass. We have Eucharistic adoration so young people can encounter Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. We have an incredible evening program where we proclaim the gospel and enter into vibrant worship of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow. Are there any stories that you could share of, like, you know, that transformation, that encounter that leads to mission?
Yeah, I think one of the reasons I love youth ministry is because if we can radically transform young people's lives, they'll go forth and radically transform their parents' lives. Mm-hmm. And so my greatest joy is every year I see countless conversions of young people. And what happens is they go back into their family, and when they're set on fire with the Holy Spirit, they're like this torch that just helps to set their parents on fire and their siblings on fire. We had this one young lady a few years ago, went to camp, experienced Jesus, and afterwards, she got home, and that year she heard about her mom was diagnosed with cancer, and her mom went in for kind of a routine, what she thought was a routine checkup, and the doctor said, hey, you've got cancer throughout your whole body, and we need to do immediate surgery. And she comes home and she tells her family, they're rocked, right? And this young camper who had experienced Jesus Christ and the power of our Lord asked if the family could pray the rosary. And it was their first time their family had ever prayed together. Mm. And as that night, through the power of the rosary, their mom was healed. And she goes to the doctors Wow. The next day, and they look for this, they do tests, and they're like, the cancer's totally gone, right? And so that's just one, like, miracle.
Wow.
But we see miracles of grace all the time, mm-hmm. where like conversions are happening, the campers' lives are being changed, they're going home and they're changing their parents' lives, and it's just beautiful.
That's awesome. Oh my gosh. So are there is there anything else that you want? First of all, where can we learn more about Catholic Youth Summer Camp?
Yeah, we would love to have, so our summer camp is for middle school and high school age kids. It's a week-long residential camp it's 5 nights, 6 days. And if you want to learn more, you can go to CYSC.com, CYSC.com. We run middle school camps for current 5th through 7th graders, and we run high school camps as well for current 8th through 11th graders. So, and if you have awesome college students out there, we have college missionaries all summer with us as well. So CYSC.com is the place to learn more about camp and sign up for camp.
That is awesome. Dan, this is just awesome. It's awesome that you not only get to host this show, but you got to share your testimony. It started with the crucifix, like knowing who Jesus really is, that it's at the cross that the center of our Catholic faith is really communicated to us beyond sometimes the failures of culture, right? The church culture that we grow up in. And then the power of the Eucharist to transform us, to empower us. and to feed us. And then finally, just that mission. And then when we say yes to God, that he launches us into things. And I love how he not only just, you know, launched you into youth ministry, but he had you invade for that season Hollywood and the entertainment culture. And then with that exposure to just preach the gospel in your speaking ministry, and also to run this camp. So I just pray that everyone out there who's hearing this would keep not only Dan in your prayers, but all the ministry that you're involved with, Catholic Youth Summer Camp, Holiness Revolution, because we need people to cover us with intercession. Mm. We're part of the body of Christ. If you're hearing this right now, you're not disconnected from this. This becomes an invitation for you to say, God, thank you for what you've done in Dan's life. Father, please bless him. Angels, guard and protect him. But Father, do something in me.
Exactly.
Do something in me. Like, this is not simply about, oh my gosh, Dan is amazing, okay? But like, if you want God to use you, just call for it. And like, every time we hear an amazing testimony, there's kind of two things that can happen. There's jealousy, and that comes from the devil. Like, God, why did you give Dan this awesome encounter? Why not me? Why can't I be on TV or whatever it is? But that's straight up from the enemy. So we rebuke that spirit. But then there's also this other move that I just mentioned, this invitation, like, Lord, if you could do that in him, do that in me. Do that in me. And I love, oftentimes on the show, Dan, we hear not only from your testimony of this powerful encounter you had, like in your room, this powerful encounter you had at Mass, that we highlight these conversion stories. And like, and just number one, like St. Paul highlighted his conversion story several times throughout the book of Acts in his writings. So like, those are important. But this one thing that really hits me is Mark chapter 3, verse 14, that when he called the 12, he appointed 12 that he named apostles, that they might first be with him and that he might send them forth. And that encounter is in the being with him. And it starts, yes, with these conversion experiences, but that encounter needs to be every day. God, how do you want to love me today? God, how do you want to speak to me today? I need to hear your voice every day. I need to receive your love. I need to bear your presence. And then from that being with him, being in his presence, he's able to send us forth. So can we just pray? Is anything else you want to say?
Yeah, I really just want to pray, because I think a lot of us, we come into relationship with Jesus Christ and we start to follow him, but we don't become fishers of men. And brothers and sisters, we miss the gospel if we don't join in Jesus's apostolic mission. That his mission is to bring the kingdom here on earth and to make the Father known amongst men. And so if your faith is all about you, the Lord wants to call you on mission with him, right? That what an incredible treasure that we have a God who not only gives us his own life, but then he gives us his spirit so that we can become missionaries with him. So let's just pray for a missionary zeal to fall upon the people.
Yeah, and Dan, as you just said that last word, the Holy Spirit just told me that there's people listening right now that he wants to birth new ministries in. That there's a sense that I'm getting right now straight from the Holy Spirit that the Lord is, he's not content with the ministries that are out there right now. So let's just pray for that right now, okay? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Father God, we thank you for sending the Holy Spirit and touching Dan so powerfully. Father, I pray that everyone listening right now, Holy Spirit, that you would just touch not only the head, but also the heart, that everyone that you're calling to just launch out into ministry, Lord, the Holy Spirit, you would fill them right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we just pray for newness, for boldness of life, for the church to come together on mission through the power of encounter. Mm-hmm. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on Encounter. On behalf of Dan and I, we pray that you have the grace to receive and respond to every divine encounter that God brings to you today. To learn more about us and the show, or how you can share your life-changing encounter with our audience, please visit encounterradio.org. That's encounterradio.org. Thanks and God bless.
Amen.